Hallelujah. It's nice and warm. Lots of white noise. We're going to stay awake, aren't we? I think I'm kind of very, very relaxing in here. So, all right, I'll talk loud enough. Keep y'all awake, all right? You need to stand up, stretch, or do something. Sometimes I'm working. I'll have to stand up, talk to people. Okay. All right, here we go. Woo! All right, try to wake you up a little bit here. So, let me sleep with the fan on. I do a lot sometimes. It's kind of nice because it's just you're laying there and relaxed. And, okay, all right. Okay, you had your turn. You're done. All right, we're done now. Okay, we're having these issues bubble up here during service. So, anyway, Mark chapter 25. Didn't know I'd be poking the hornet's nest there. But anyway, Matthew chapter 25. We are still talking about you have value. Everybody has value, don't you? Yes. And the world is going to tell you your value. And guess what? Where do we get our value? From the Word of God. Amen. Hey, how many campers do we have this week? Raise your hand with the camp. Oh, we got some awesome people. All right, good job, everybody. All right, we need to get you guys up here and give some testimonies. We'll do that next week. How's that sound? Actually, at the end, let's give you guys just a couple minutes to bounce up here real quick when we're all finished here and tell us all about camp and the amazing things that happened. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. And this is, again, Jesus talking about the talents. And it says, again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to an... it's silver. It's not like dollar bills. Isn't that interesting here? Because it actually has value. And don't get me off on that. But 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Can I say something too really quick? And I am just absolutely going to be stoned for this, especially in a lot of churches, and especially not everybody has the same giftings and abilities. There, I said it. All right?
That's good.
You go watch sports and you're like, oh, it's so apparent that there are kids that are very gifted and some that aren't, right? It doesn't mean they're bad, right? It just means that, like my kids tell me, Dad, they're just built different, right? No. But there's a couple things where you can develop yourself, though, right? The word says, study, show yourself approved, workman rightly dividing the word of God. So there is a development, but then God does just give some people certain abilities. You ever been around people, they just pick stuff up? They just have this knack for things, right? Or just some people, they have a gift in certain areas. Well, you know what? God does give people gifts. And there are just certain anointings and things we're going to see here in the scripture, what the scripture talks about. But verse 16, it says, the servant who received 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earn 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. How many people are we getting now that just don't want to work? You ever notice that? I remember I was talking to a friend of mine. He went on vacation down in the South last year. He said he stopped at a McDonald's and he said the lobby was shut down because nobody was working. And then he did like order food online. You do the apps and things like that too. He said, so he ordered it online. He said, now we were on vacation. I'm pulling a camper behind me, right? I can't go through the drive-thru and pick it up. So he said, I knocked on the window and the gal that was working said, you have to drive through the drive-thru. He's like, I've got a camper. I can't come through the drive-thru. Well, how can I get the food? Well, you can't come in, the lobby's closed. The point is, nobody wanted to work, right? And we're seeing a lot of people in this situation who have 1 bag of silver, 1 talent, and they won't do anything with it. Verse 28 or 20, 26. But when the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant." So he is going through, he is dishing out rewards, judgment. You know, judgment is always a bad thing, especially on the right side of God. I mean, if you're doing the good things on the other side, we'll get rewards for it. If you don't, then you'll get rewarded for that as well. But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, if you knew I harvested crops and I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? Or at least I could have gotten some interest on it." Well, not these days. But anyway, then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what are they're given, even more will be given, and they will have abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now this is so powerful because, you know, some people say, well, Jesus was a socialist, Jesus was a communist. There is nothing in the Word that talks about that. Just because he says, you know, we need to give to the poor, we need to help people who are, you know, less fortunate than us. We see the Bible talks about if you don't work, you don't eat. If you don't provide for your own, you're worse than an infidel. We see here that if you're not taking your talents, which you've been given, and multiplied or do something with it, it is evil. Everything in the kingdom is about multiplication. If you haven't noticed that. And also, too, I've said this before, but you are bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. The kingdom of God is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. Cut open an apple and you'll see what I'm saying, right? Because that seed in itself is much bigger than the apple, right? There's way more potential in that apple than there is you eating it. The Bible talks about, you know, you can the sower eating its seed. Basically what it is instead of taking seed and sowing it and producing more, you're consuming the very life-giving nature, the very life source that you have in front of you. What's your life source, right? It's your gifts. It's what's in you. See, we all have talent. The Lord has given every person value, talents, abilities. You know, I don't care. I could have worked as hard as Michael Jordan, but I would never have been as good a basketball player as Michael Jordan, right? It's all work, and you're a little pea-picking heart. You can do anything you want to, cutie pie, right? My girls are probably not going to be any kind of linemen for the Raiders or Chicago Bears anytime soon, right? I don't care how much they, you know, identify with whatever, it's never going to happen. Because they have a 350-pound lineman coming at them full bore. No. So there are things that, you know, and here's the thing. The devil always wants you to get disconnected, dissatisfied with you. That's the lie. Was it a lie in the garden? It's the lie now that you're not good enough. You're not smart enough. Wish you had somebody else's talent. Wish you had somebody else's ability. Wish you had this. Wish you had this. You know what? God didn't make a mistake when he made you. And they give you certain talents and certain abilities. Because guess what? People need you. I know the devil thinks, and you think that, you know, people think that we're all insignificant. You're just insignificant. Well, I'm just trying to make a living for my family. Well, I'm just trying to do this. I'm just trying to do this. Thank God for Thomas Edison, right? Thank God for these people. Thank God for Alexander Graham Bell. Remember, he made the phone. That's kind of a big deal, right? Now we have cell phones. Now we have all this technology. Guess what? God had to give somebody the revelation to do that. Everything that we see now, it's because of God, right? Because everything we read last week, everything was made by God for God. What does that mean? Everything here, all the resources and everything are for him and for his purpose and for you to enjoy. And for it's for his glory, right? God didn't get thrown off and you know, we always think, oh, oil burning, oh, this oil's a bad thing. You know what? God put the oil in the ground because he knew we need it. Hello? I was watching it, reading a science. And again, the world system always wants you to think that we're in scarce. We're in lack. There's not enough. Everything's awful terrible. Let me tell you something. We haven't even used 1% of our resources. I was reading a science magazine about 4 years ago, and they estimated we haven't even tapped into 1% of the world's resources yet. But you're going to watch TV. Everything's lack. Everything's awful terrible. You know, everything's lost. Just give up on life right now. Can I just say this? There's so many more things that need to be discovered. There's so many more things that we need to do. God has given men and women witty inventions to benefit mankind. Whether it's reaching people for the lost, I talked about last time, the guy that I used to work for, the owner of Vermeer Manufacturing, Gary Vermeer. I don't know how many patents he has. I don't know how many machines he has patented. But there's a gift on that man's life. I was around him enough, worked with him, you know. He and I worked one-on-one a lot, and the guy is beyond rich. But the point is, there's an anointing on his life. But guess what? He took the talent, and he executed on it. That's the key. Execution of what is deposited in you. And so... And again, nobody's going to answer for you but you, right? I'm not going to answer for you. Mom and daddy ain't going to answer for you. Nobody's going to answer for you. When you stand before the Lord, it's going to be you. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And I'm going to move quickly through some of this stuff tonight. Again, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. What it means is God deposits things in you and there's an expectation. And guess what? It is a pleasure. It's a joy. You know, guys, just think of it as joy in the journey. I've done some studies on depression, and depression is one of the leading, ailments in the United States and in the world. You want to know why? I think a lot of people are depressed is because they're not fulfilling their potential. That's what it really comes down to, right? And then I would say, in a show of hands, if I ask people in this room, do you feel like you're really, really maximize your full potential? Probably a lot of us say no. I mean, that's not a condemning thing or a bad thing. It just means that, guess what? You see more capacity in your life that you can execute on, right? There's things in your life. One of the things in my life, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I haven't even tapped into yet the things that God has put in us and put in you, right? There's probably things that in your life. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. That's the message. And the message, a gift gets attention. It buys the attention of eminent people. It's amazing how God will give people things if we'll just ask. Instead of give us wisdom in revelation on things, right? What is your gifting? What is your gifting? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. So the devil's going to come along and lie to you and say, you can't do it. You're not going to be able to do it. You don't have the resources. You don't have the time. You don't have an education. You don't have the money. You don't have this. You don't have this. You don't have this. And you don't have this. And you're going to say, I don't have these things. And he's going to say, so? God says you can do it. We say we're missing X, Y, Z. That's kind of where we have faith, right? Step out and do things. I was just watching a while back this guy that, how many people out there that have gone from nothing to building, whether it's wealth, whether it's, you know, businesses or anything else like that. And it's just people just have an idea. They have a dream. They have a passion. They have, most people are, I can't do it. Right? Or they shove it off. Because I mean, we're really in the vein of knowledge. there's no wisdom anymore, but we're getting a lot of knowledge, right? You watch, I mean, you can watch YouTube to see any, I mean, you can watch YouTube to fix your toilet, you know? I mean, YouTube is everything. I'm just going to watch it, you know, I'm going to tear my whole engine apart. I'm going to watch a YouTube video. I'm going to do it. What do I do with these extra parts? Right? So sometimes they're on YouTube and man, it looks really easy, doesn't it? It's like, oh, that looks just real simple and everything, except I don't have $42,000 in tools, right? You know, oh, you just get the crankshaft, this and that, you know. I got a computerized milling machine. I can take the heads off an engine and mill it all. It's like, I don't have a computerized, I don't have a mill. I don't have these things. But it looks real easy, but if God has given us an ability and a talent or a purpose, guess what? We can do it, can't we? And the devil wants to hide those things from you. I remember being down at Rhema, and there was a businessman that, you know, different people that I knew, they had their own businesses, and Adrian and I went to church, and we went to church at this other, we went to DeMata, World Outreach Church in Tulsa there, and we went through DeMata, and there was a business owner there. I can't remember their name, but anyway, she was going through the school with us, and they were had businesses and things like that, but their whole thing was they had businesses so they could bless people. I mean, they had businesses, they hired people in the church, they gave people jobs, you know, they were just, what? There was a gifting on their life to build businesses, to help people in the church, witness to people, you know, bless the church with finances. Their whole existence was, this is our ministry that we can help people with. They discovered their purpose. And guess what? Just like we just read there, if we're going to use our talent for whatever it is, right? He's going to multiply it. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law shall not depart from the mouth, but I, what? Shall meditate therein day and night, and may observe to do all, that is written therein for you, for he shall make your ways prosperous and give you what? Good success. What does success mean? You know, we always think success means that, oh, we're going to get this, you know, the Wells Fargo or the bank truck or the U.S. bank or whatever, or, you know, whatever the bank is, Bank of America truck's going to show up and they're going to drop a sack of cash on our, you know, front porch. No. Success means maybe an idea, maybe a vision for something, maybe a connection with someone, maybe an opportunity, a door opens up, maybe opportunity to go to a school somewhere or do something or have a mentor or connect with somebody. You know, I've been on the phone like talking to business people and I'm learning so much from people just by getting on the phone with other business brokers and talking to them about business concepts. I just pick up the phone. And this lady, she's in Texas, she and I were talking this week, and I said, hey, you know, we're talking business and we're talking, you know, finance and everything. I said, what do you see for commerce down in Texas? What's going on in the United States and everything? Why? Connect with people. God is, and I'm learning so much from people about what's going on in business and the business realm, and I thought about this idea. And I thought about this idea. What do you think about this? Well, that's a great idea, but you're going to run into this, and you're going to run into this. God's going to bring people along your path to help you to get from point A to point B. Well, you know what? I just believe God. I'm going to own my own business. Oh, really? Have you priced healthcare yet? Right? I mean, for myself, I'm thinking, okay, I have a vision for my life. I have a plan for life. Even this week, I'm pricing, okay, well, what would it be for healthcare if I did this? Why? Because those are acts of faith, right? Am I going to do this right this second? No, but I need to plan on things because I got to be a steward of, if God's called me to do things or do certain things, I need to prepare the way from point A to point B to get there, right? You're all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. Huh? That's faith though, right? I believe I'm going to go over here. So guess what? I just can't wake up someday and go, I'm going to quit my job and I think I'm going to do a business venture. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I got to say, okay, what do I do? Well, I'd like to have health care for my family. What's that going to cost? Because that'll disappear. I need this. What's this going to cost? I need this. The Bible talks about someone who is wise is going to count the cost before they go to war. What does that mean? Don't just react to things and do things, but plan. You know what? You can have faith and plan at the same time, right? I mean, most of the time I've had a few times where I got laid off from jobs and all of a sudden, and on the inside, I felt like something wonky was going on, but I just knew on the inside, and guess what? I just came in and they said, hey, we're all done. We're going to close down, we're going to close down all mortgage and we don't need any mortgage advisors anymore. And on the inside, I had peace, right? But that's kind of the rarity and that's the exception, not the rarity. But any time in life we're doing things, we have a vision, we have a plan, begin to take steps to go there, right? How many people, someday never comes, right? It's just today and tomorrow. Someday is never, there's no, there's nothing. Like I talk clients all the time when we're doing finances or anything. No, I need to know a date. Like, when are we going to connect, right? When are you going to do this? When is this going to happen? I need a day. I need a time. I need things. I need, right? Can I just say something too? Are you all bored? I'm getting really bored with this. The person that had the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent, guess what? The 5-talent person had to have a plan what he was going to do to cause increase. The 2-talent person had to take action to do the 2-talent increase, right? The 1 person, what do they say? He was lazy. Why was he lazy? Someday, right? Someday. Well, someday never happens. It's just never going to happen. And the Bible calls him evil because he had a talent, he had something, and he didn't act on it. Didn't do anything with it. One thing is that he didn't believe that he had value. Well, I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know what to do. Well, Colossians 3:22 says, here we go, servants, obey in all things your masters. This is a point, according to the flesh, not with eye service, basically when they were looking at you as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, in verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, whatever God has put on your heart, whatever your purpose in life is, if you don't know your purpose in life, that's okay. Guess what? You can discover it, but it's going to take time getting in the Word. You got to spend time praying, and you got to listen on the inside. Does this make sense? I've done business things and I've looked back in the past. On the inside, I have a sinking feeling and I told Adrian, I'm like, I should have never done that. You got to be led by the Spirit on things. I'm telling you right now, you got to be led. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with doing things in your life where you're making steps to walk something out, and then halfway there, have a sinking feeling, this doesn't feel right. I've done that several times where I've had things in my life where I'm walking and I'm planning to do things, and all of a sudden, probably halfway through my plans, whether it's an investment or whatever, I'll sit there and go, that didn't feel right. And I pulled a plug. Just this last week, I was talking with somebody about something. I just had this sinking feeling. I'm like, I think I'm going to let that go. Sometimes you're blessed by letting things go instead of trying to push the door open, right? And can I also say something too? When you're trying to push a door, I think sometimes we're asking the question, God, why isn't this door opening? Rather than saying, what door will open? Because I've tried to in my life, and I'm sure I'm probably the only one, that you're trying to push a door or you're wanting to do something. Now, if it's you feel on the inside, that's where you're supposed to go. There's a value. There's something that you really feel on the inside. You're supposed to do something. But sometimes when the doors aren't opening, I think the biggest question is not, Lord, help me open the door. Another question is, why isn't the door opening and where do I need to go next? So again, I really don't believe that our purpose in life is segmented, meaning, this is secular, this is sacred, this is secular work, and I think it's all. Like, everything should be mixed together, right? I don't go, it's like me when I walk somewhere and it's like, well, I'm gonna leave my arm over here, but my legs and left arm are gonna walk over here. No, you walk as an entity, no matter where you go, right? So God only shows up in church or maybe your house, but he doesn't show up at work or your business. I'm telling you what, I don't think God looks at, just like this scripture and other scriptures, God does not look at things of, well, you're not full-time ministry, so you're not anointed and you're not doing these things. Do you know how many people I've led to the Lord over the years by doing secular work? Getting people baptized in the Holy Spirit while I'm running machines or I'm doing things. Just saying. Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich and it adds no sorrow with it. I don't chase money. I don't chase vision. I chase God in where he's leading me to. And if we would get out of the mindset of it's bad to be wealthy, it's bad to be prosperous, it's bad to be things. I'm going to just say this something, you know, whether it's billionaires or whoever, all I know is I get these articles sometimes since I'm in finance and do things, and guess what? Warren Buffett says this, right? Because people listen, right? Well, so-and-so says this, Warren Buffett, or, you know, this other, you know, the CEO of something company, or this person, or this person, or this person. Why can't you be that person? Maybe that's not your avenue, but maybe you design clothes like nobody does. Can I just say something too? I mean, I don't wear ladies' clothes. Okay, shocker. But from what I hear, there's a shortage of great modest clothes for ladies, right? I mean, I look at things and I'm thinking, that's a great opportunity. Right? Now, I would be a terrible ladies' clothing designer. I'm just telling you right now. But I'm saying things like that. What's that? Yeah, the fringe. Are you making fun of me now? We're going there now, huh? Oh, okay. Okay, that's what we have to do now. All right. All right. I'll have to repent later, but I'm kidding. But we were just married not too long, and...
We weren't?
Okay. So I had a great idea. I said, a great idea, right? Right? Anyway, I got her some jeans and a long sleeve shirt, and it had the rhinestone cowboy fringe off of it, baby. It was great. And up the down the side, the fringe. Yeah, and I thought I was like really cool, and she put it on. I think there's a picture floating around somewhere.
There's one picture of me trying it on. And
yeah, and then but the look on her face was just absolute terror. And it never made it out in the public. So anyway. So anyway. We like giving gift cards in that area. Well, I'll just say that. We'll just do the take the credit card. You do your thing. You be you. I'll be me. And we'll have a happy marriage. It was bad. So anyway. Okay, enough of that. And then finally, Genesis chapter 50. We'll close with this. Genesis chapter 50. And we touched on a little bit. Now Joseph's father died, and we discussed it, but I want to kind of touch on this real quick. Joseph had people like Joseph and Daniel and other people in the Bible. They were gifted to do things and they answered the call. And we see that Joseph had a gifted administrative business sense about him. God gave him a vision and he acted on it. He used his talent and it saved a nation, actually multiple nations, right? Egypt and the Hebrews at the time. What if, and I always think about things too, when I'm reading scripture, I'm always thinking about, what if King David didn't answer the call? What if Joseph didn't answer the call? What if Abraham decided not to do it? I mean, well, we know that Jonah didn't. He tucked tail and ran, and that didn't work out very good, right? But Nineveh, a heathen nation, you go read about some things about Nineveh, and it's scary. Say, I don't blame Jonah, okay? I mean, we all look back and laugh, and, you know, oh, I would have done it. No, they were a really scary bunch, but they answered the call. They acted on the gift that God gave them. And can I say something to you about, you know, there's a lot of commentary about Joseph, but Joseph's gift, it seemed like it was terrible, awful. And maybe, can I say this too? Maybe you felt like in life, like things have been injustice, or if you have things happening. And that's why the Bible talks about count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Joseph is the only one in his family of his brothers that had the character and the ability to handle things at the end. Now, what if the tables would have been reversed and Joseph wasn't there and one of his brothers was there? Why is this story not just about saving people, but because of Joseph's gifts and his character, the 12 tribes of Israel were saved? Not just from starvation, but from murder. Because at that point, Joseph had the power. He had the power to have them all killed on the spot. And guess what? God's plan would have been aborted. Because Jesus is what, right? He's the king of Judah. Because of somebody's gift and because of their... Jesus, our King, our Lord and Savior, had an avenue to be able to be born and to deliver us because of, for example, just one act, one person acting on their talent, what revelation God gave them, and having enough character to see that all the bad things that happened, you know, can I just say this too? We don't look at bad things and go, oh, well, that's all God's will. No, we sit back and look at it as it may be a refining process to get to an end goal. But God never, ever puts that junk on us. But like it talks about, iron sharpens iron. What does that scripture mean? It means that sometimes we go through a process and it's rough. But guess what? The rough edges make us sharper, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And too many people jump out. Oh my goodness, I wish I could just camp out here. You know, years ago when Adrian and I went through our first Bible college, we had so many people that were so on fire for God. We hadn't been married that long, I don't know, a few years, like maybe about 3 or 4 years. And we threw a Bible college there in our church, loaded with people. I mean, there was probably, I would say probably at least a dozen of us that had our hearts on, you know, doing full-time ministry. And guess what? There's only like myself, well, two of us, just a few of us left. Why? Because life, things are rough. Life came along, you know. Family problems arise. Instead of taking it and using the talent, the things that were deposited into us, what do? They got off track. Some of them aren't even serving God anymore. They're in other sinful lifestyles, other things going on. Why? Because when that rough edge came along, they gave up. Instead of knowing, okay, I'm going to make it through this, I can be better on the other side, and there's a gift and a calling in me, and there's a talent in me that needs to be developed to help other people. Because guys, let me tell you something. Your talents right now, and all of you do have talents and you have abilities, you may not think you do, but you do. You can influence and help people. It's not there for you, right? Joseph was not there for himself. Joseph was there not only to save himself and his family, but a nation, and to help bring Jesus to the forefront so we can be delivered. See, we just don't have any idea what it is. And Joseph probably at the time had no idea. He's in a pit. He's through this. He's through that. And on the other side, and then he's sitting in the prison. How many people are sitting just like Joseph in the prison for 2 or 3 years and sitting there going, what did I do wrong? Sometimes you didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
Sometimes it's just the process, right? But you stick with God, guess what? It will come.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible talks about, you know, the vision, though it tarry,
wait,
and it will come to pass. It doesn't say it might, it says it will come to pass. But we got to be obedient throughout the process. Are y'all bored tonight? You look bored or you're chewing, one of the two. We got to talk about Bible here sometimes, you know? I mean, it's real easy to go, and we're just so cute, and we're just so awesome, and God loves us, and mwah, 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 all the time. And I love those messages because it makes me feel good, too, and God does love us, and he's absolutely passionately in love with all of us. But, you know, there comes a time where it's like, okay, little Jimmy, okay, little Susie, you need to take our Pampers off. We got to put big boy, big girl pants on, right? We got to do something now. Amen. And guess what? Every person in here, I know, you got a gifting, you got a calling, you have talents on your life, and guess what? Stick with God. That's going to come to pass. Amen?
Amen.
He's going to lead you down the paths you need to go. And I just sense here tonight, there's people that have been frustrated, and I'm telling you what, you may have some Joseph moments in the past where you've been in prison, you've had lack, you've had different things going on. I'm telling you tonight, if you're going to stick with God, just walk with God. It is always prosperous to walk with God. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about, recently spend time with different family members. And I'm telling you what, they're family members that they don't serve God, and their absolute family is an absolute disaster. When you walk with God, the whole thing about being blessed is it means nothing out of order and nothing missing when you're blessed. Amen. Well, what I want to do right now, I want the camp people to come up here real quick. If we got some camp people, just take a couple minutes. Come on up here. Everybody who went to camp, I want you guys to give us some awesome testimonies. Tell us, just give me a couple minutes. Where's Emily? We got Emily and Austin and Owen. And I think Olivia and who else? I want you guys just real quick. Come on up here. You know what? You go to camp or you do things. And I should have had Molly and Kate give testimonies too about the camp they went to, but it's always good. Emily, why don't you tell us two things you liked about camp and that really blessed you.
I liked watching people get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And what else did you like?
The food.
The food? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You tell us two things you liked. What did you like about camp?
I also liked the
food.
My group saved some money.
Good.
Awesome.
All right. Good job. What are two things you like, Olivia? A horseback riding, what else?
The blob.
Ooh, the blob. The blob.
The face, my face.
Cool. Well, come over here. Tell us, Owen, what a couple things you like, pal.
I like the food and the blob.
The blob. Those awesome blob. Things. So, very good. Very good. All right. You guys, I'm super proud of them. And I just know I've kind of talked to all of them a little bit, you know, over the last few weeks, and they're all really super excited about it, and we're kind of just about excited. I know. Yeah, so the camp shirt, we didn't get it. So anyway, Father, we just thank you for this time together. I thank you for these precious people, Lord Jesus. I thank you, Lord, right now, the gifts and callings that are without repentance. I speak tonight that they are alive, and they're having revelation of their giftings tonight. Lord, you're speaking to people in this room, and you're showing them the way, Lord God, of what they've been created to do, Lord Jesus. Whether that's make clothes or run a machine or be a teacher, what it is, God, I don't know what it is, but God, we thank you tonight that every person here is going to walk in their divine calling and fulfill the destiny you have on their life. We just praise you in Jesus' name, Amen.
Amen.
Well, be cool, everybody.